ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with شرح السنة of Imam al-Barbahari رحمه الله. And last time we had points number 99 and 100. And just to mention some of the points that we had from the book of the Imam Abu Muhammad al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, and the explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, then the first point was that whoever says, or this is a continuation, and today's is also a continuation of the topic of the innovations in belief of the Jahmiyya, the deviant sect of the Jahmiyyah. So last time, in that regard, we had the saying that whoever says that my recitation of the Qur'an is created, then he is a Jahmi. And just as an addition in that regard, then Sheikh As-Suhaimi, hafidhahullah, he said, meaning that he has tajahhum. He has one of the beliefs of the Jahmiyyah. With regard to what we had from Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, then he said that Allah has indeed affirmed speech for himself in many ayahs. And Shaykh al-Fawzan quoted from those ayahs. And he said that with regard to the speech of Allah the Most High, then the position of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, is that they say that with regard to Allah's speech, his kalam, that it is قديم النوع حادث الآحاد. Allah's speech itself, in its type, means speech as being an attribute of Allah the Most High, has always been his attribute, eternally. He's always had that attribute. However, with regard to the individual instances of his speech, then that newly occurs. Allah newly speaks. As Allah the Most High spoke to Adam alayhi salam, Allah the Most High spoke to Musa alayhi salam, Allah spoke to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these instances of Allah speaking newly occur. Likewise, we had that the Jahmiyyah, they declared that the speech of Allah is something created. The speech of Allah that we have with us, the Quran and the speech of Allah, is something created, they say. And they say that when it is described as the speech of Allah, it means the ascription. It doesn't literally mean, they say, the Jahmiyyah, that it's an attribute of Allah, his speech. Rather, they say that it's an ascription of something created, being ascribed to the creator of it. Just the same as with regard to Baytullah, the house of Allah, I mean the Ka'bah, the house of Allah. The house that is ascribed to Allah, I mean given honour by Allah. It's a created thing. So the Jahmiyyah say the same applies with regard to the speech of Allah. So this is one of their evil innovations. And Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that they have a number, that Al-Jahm ibn Safwan, he had a number of sayings. One of them being this, that the Qur'an is something created, the speech of Allah is something created. And this individual, Al-Jahm ibn Safwan, he had negation. He negated the names and attributes of Allah. He denied the names and attributes of Allah. And he had Jabr. He had the belief of Jabr. The belief that mankind is forced and compelled upon his deeds. He has no ability of free will upon his own deeds. Rather, he is forced and compelled upon his deeds. And that he said that the Quran is something created. Sheikh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he mentioned that this saying of Jahm, he was not the one who originated this saying. He was the one who propagated it. It became widespread through him. So it is said to be the saying of the Jahmiyyah. But he was not the one who actually originated it. He took it from his teacher, who was Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham. Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham was an individual who was killed for his heresy, killed for his unbelief, disbelief, by Khalid al-Qasri. And we had the lines from the Nuniyah of Ibn Qayyim in that regard. that Khalid al-Qasri, the governor in Iraq, in Kufa, he slaughtered him on the day of sacrifice for his sayings. And that Al-Ja'd ibn Dirham, he took this saying from Talut, from a Jew, from Talut, the Jew. And Talut took this saying from Labid ibn al-Aqsam, another Jew. In fact, the Jew who did sorcery upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Jew who did magic upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so you shouldn't be surprised when you hear these evil sayings of that. You shouldn't be so surprised when you see the chain of narration that they have for these sayings. Al-Jahm took this saying from Al-Ja'ad. Al-Ja'ad took it from Talut, the Jew, who took it from Labid ibn al-Aqsam, the Jew who did sorcery upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then there came a further point that they introduced, which was with regard to a person saying, my saying, or my recitation of the Qur'an is created. So they innovated this saying. A person saying, well, okay, when they were refuted on their saying that the Qur'an is something created, they said, well, what about my recitation of the Qur'an then? Is that created or not? So Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that the correct answer, if this question is arises, when they've brought this question about, and a person is asked, your recitation of the Qur'an, is that created or not then? And Shaykh al-Fawzan said the correct answer is not to give an unrestricted answer either way. You don't say my recitation of the Qur'an is created, or my recitation of the Qur'an is not created. But rather you mention the answer with detail. And you say, if what you mean by my recitation of the Qur'an is what I'm reciting, then that is the speech of Allah. That's the Qur'an. I'm reciting the Qur'an, which is the speech of Allah, not created. And if you mean by that, if you mean by my recitation, my individual voice, my vocalization, then that is created. But that which I'm reciting is the speech of Allah. The Qur'an, not created in any sense. And we had the point that the ruin of the Jahmiyyah came about because of their entering into the affair of the Lord, speaking about that which they should not have spoken about, entering into the affair, particular to Allah the Most High, and asking questions in that regard, the questions of why and how. About Allah and His attributes, why and how. So Shaykh al-Fawzan made it clear that they should not have been doing this, rather what is upon us in that regard is to have iman in Allah, and to have iman in his names and his attributes, and not to enter into that issue with our intellects and start asking how are his attributes, because that is something unknown to us. Rather we stick to what occurs in the book and the sunnah. We affirm whatever is affirmed in the book and the sunnah. As for the Jahmiyyah, then they entered, first of all, they denied texts of the book and the sunnah, and use their own intellects in the affairs of Allah the Most High and His attributes. They use their own intellects, and this resulted in their saying about their Lord. They said about Him that He is not outside the universe, nor is He inside the universe. He is not to the right, He is not to the left, He is not above, He is not below. And the Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning they gave a definition from their own intellects, a definition of something that does not exist. The definition of that which does not exist, which is how their saying ended up, in denial of the Creator altogether. And they said, with regard to his attributes, showing their denial of his attributes, they said, he does not hear. Allah the Most High, they said, the Jahmiyyah, he doesn't hear, he doesn't see, he doesn't have knowledge. To the rest of the attributes they not denied. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so therefore they likened him, they said, because we're fleeing away from bringing about resemblance between the Creator and the creation, because the creation hear and they see and they have knowledge, so we can't affirm these things for the Creator, otherwise we've made similarity between the Creator and the creation, resemblance between the Creator and the creation, so therefore we deny these attributes from Allah. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so they fled away from that, and what they fled into was worse. They fled into likening Allah to the idols, the false objects of worship, the idols who cannot hear and cannot see and cannot and do not have knowledge, and so on. And the Shaykh said, because they made an analogy between Allah and his creation. They made a false analogy, the most false analogy they can make. They made an analogy between the creator and the creation, which led them to denying his names and his attributes, because they said affirming attributes for him will mean tashbih, resemblance with the creation. And the Sheikh of Al-Zan said the answer to this is that there is no resemblance. When we affirm Allah's the attributes of Allah the Most High, this does not mean resemblance to the creation. This is occurs in the saying of Allah the Most High, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. The ayah from Surah Shura, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That is, with the explanation, there is nothing like him, and he is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. So affirming hearing for Allah, and affirming seeing for Allah, and affirming the rest of attributes doesn't mean that we've likened him to the creation. Far from it. Rather, at the beginning of the ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like him. So, as was made clear, that their practice here, they start denying his attributes, denying this one, denying all the attributes, it results in ta'atil, denying his existence altogether, which is what the saying of the Jahmiyyah ended up with. Denial of the Creator altogether. Denial that there is a Creator. Allah musta. And then, that's what comes next. That's point number 101. On page 21 here, the second volume, then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he said, وَقَالَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ مِنْهُمُ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ بْنُ حَنْبَلُ الْجَهْمِيُّ كَافِرٌ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ حَلَالُ الدَّمْ لَا يَرِثُ وَلَا يُورَثُ لأنه قال لا جمعة ولا جماعة ولا عيدين ولا صدقة وقالوا من لم يقل القرآن مخلوق فهو كافر. He said, and some of the scholars, amongst them Ahmad, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, said, the Jahmi is a disbeliever. He is not from the people of the Qibla. His blood can be lawfully shed. He does not inherit, nor is inheritance received from him. Since he says that there is no Jumu'ah prayer, no congregational prayer, no Eid prayers, and no charity. And they said, whoever does not say that the Quran is something created, then he is a disbeliever. Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said in explanation, the saying of the scholars, al-Jahmiyu kafirun laysa min ahli al-Qibla, the Jahmi is a disbeliever. He is not from the people of the Qibla. He said, meaning, kafir, he is a disbeliever on account of his combined sayings. All these sayings of the Jahmiyyah combined together, on account of that, he's a disbeliever. Because he has negated Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And there is no doubt that this is the worst of disbelief. And when all the sayings of the Jahmiyyah that we've heard, when they're all combined together, the result is denial that there is a Creator at all. Total negation of there being of Allah the Most High, as the Shaykh said, and this is the worst of disbelief. He said, their sayings of disbelief lead to ta'atil, to total negation. As was said by the Shaykh, the author, and it is denial of the existence of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, has refuted them in his book, Ar-Rad al-Jahmiyyah. And it is printed and verified, and all praises for Allah. And a number of the people have refuted them. Sheikh al-Islam refuted them in his huge book, Bayan Talbis al-Jahmiyyah. He said his saying, حلال الدم لا يرث ولا يورث, that he, the Jahmi, his blood is lawful to be shed. He does not inherit, nor is inheritance taken from him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, because he is a murtad, he is an apostate. So therefore, his blood is lawful to be shed. Because that which renders a person's blood secure is Islam. Whereas the kafir, his blood is lawful. He said, he's saying, لِأَنَّهُ قَالَ لَا جُمُعَةَ وَلَا جَمَعَةَ. He's saying, because he says, the Jahmi, the follower of Al-Jahmi ibn Safwan, he says that there is no Jumu'ah prayer, and there is no Jama'ah prayer, no congregational prayer, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, because Al-Jahm, he denied the Jumu'ah prayer, and he denied the congregational prayer. All that is sufficient, meaning in his saying, all that is sufficient, in his view, is al-ma'rifatu billah, is that a person has awareness of Allah. So iman, true faith with him, is just al-ma'rifah. In the saying of Jahm, a person, iman just means that you have awareness of Allah. You have awareness of your creator, that's it, you're a believer, a perfect believer in that view. No need for Jumu'ah prayer, no need for congregation prayer, no need for any deeds after that. As long as you're aware that you've got your creator, you're aware of Allah, that's the end of the what's required with regard to iman. So the Shaykh said, so iman in his view is just al-ma'arifah, awareness. So if a person is aware of his Lord in his heart, then he becomes a believer, mu'min, who is perfect in his iman. Even if he doesn't pray, even if he doesn't fast, even if he doesn't do anything from the acts of worship at all. Shaykh Fawzan said, he's saying, وَلَا إِيدَيْن وَلَا صَدَقَةً. And he said that there are no Eid prayers, and no sadaqah, no charity. He said because he held that deeds are not from iman. The deeds are not a part of iman, true faith. Nor is utterance upon the tongue. Nor is belief either. Rather, iman, true faith, in his view, is mere ma'arifah, awareness. He's saying, وَقَالُوا مَنْ لَمْ يَقُلِ الْقُرْآنُ مَخْلُوقٌ فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. And they said, whoever does not say that the Qur'an is something created, then he is a disbeliever. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the Jahmiyyah said, whoever doesn't say that the Qur'an is created, and rather says the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, then he is a kafir, a disbeliever. Because he has caused Allah to resemble his creation. And tashbih, declaring resemblance to the creation, is kufr, is disbelief. Then he said, وَاسْتَحَلُّ السَّيْفَ عَلَىٰ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَخَالَفُوا مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَهُمْ وَامْتَحَنُوا النَّاسَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَتَكَلَّمْ فِيهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَلَا أَحَدٌ مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ وَأَرَادُوا تَعْطِيلَ الْمَسَاجِدِ وَالْجِوَامِعِ. He said, and they permitted the use of the sword against the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they contradicted those who came before them. They put the people to trial with something which neither Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nor anyone from his companions spoke with. They sought for the emptying and abandonment. They sought for the emptying and abandonment of the mosques and the congregations. Shaykh Fawzan said, he's saying, وَاسْتَحَلُّ السَّيْفَ عَلَىٰ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And they held as lawful the use of the sword against the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, they permitted killing the Muslims, those who disagreed with them in aqidah, creed and belief. And therefore, when they gained authority in the time of Al-Ma'mun, what did they do to the Muslims? They killed those of the scholars whom they killed. And they tortured those whom they tortured in order to try and force them to hold the saying that was the position of the Jahmiyyah. He's saying, وَخَالَفُوا مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَهُمْ, and they contradicted whoever came before them. Shaykh Fawzan said, from the Muslims. Whoever was before them, from the Muslims, they contradicted them. So these sayings did not appear except from them. These sayings of the Jahmiyyah only appeared amongst them. And this nation only came from them. He's saying, وَامْتَحَنُوا النَّاسَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَتَكَلَّمْ فِيهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And they tried and tested the people. They put the people to trial with something which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not speak with. Shaykh Fawzan said, they wanted to force the people to accept their saying, as happened in the time of Al-Ma'mun, as the Khalifa Al-Ma'mun, just after year 200, as occurred in the time of Al-Ma'mun and those who came after him, when they tried to force the people to accept the saying that the Qur'an is created. He's saying, وَأَرَادُوا تَعْطِيرَ الْمَسَاجِدِ وَالْجَوَامِعِ, and they wanted to empty out the mosques and the congregations. Shaykh Fawzan said, because their position with regard to Iman, true faith, is that it is merely awareness, even if a person does not do any action, and even if he does not speak with his tongue, and even if he does not hold belief in his heart. So therefore there would be no need for the mosques and the congregations, because the prayer is not obligatory in their view. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continued, وَأَوْهَنُوا الْإِسْلَامِ وَعَطَّرُوا الْجِهَادِ وَعَمِلُوا فِي الْفُرْقَةِ وَخَالَفُوا الْآثَارِ وَتَكَلَّمُوا بِالْمَنْسُوخِ وَاحْتَجُوا بِالْمُتَشَابِهِ فَشَكَّكُوا النَّاسَ فِي أَدْيَانِهِمْ وَاخْتَصَمُوا فِي رَبِّهِمْ وَقَالُوا لَيْسَ هُنَاكَ. ليس هناك عذاب قبر ولا حوض ولا شفاء والجنة والنار لم يخلقا وأنكروا كثيرا مما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فاستحل من استحل تكفيرهم ودماءهم من هذا الوجه لأنه من رد آية من كتاب الله فقد رد الكتاب كله ومن رد حديثا عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقد رد الأثر كله وهو كافر بالله العظيم. Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he continued, and they weakened Islam, the Jahmiyyah, and they weakened Islam, caused jihad to be left, and busied themselves with causing separation. They contradicted the narrations, and they spoke with that which had been abrogated. They utilized unclear texts as proof, and they caused the people to have doubts about their religion, and they disputed regarding their Lord, and they said, there is no punishment in the grave, nor any great reservoir, al-hawd, nor any intercession, shafa'ah, and that paradise and the fire have not yet been created. And they denied much of that which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So therefore those who permitted that they be declared disbelievers declared that their blood may be lawfully shed from this aspect, since whoever rejects a single ayah from the Book of Allah, then he has rejected the whole of the book. And whoever rejects a single hadith from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he has rejected all of the narrations, and he is a disbeliever in Allah the Sublime. Al-Azim, the sublime one, the tremendous one. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, وَأَوْهَنُ الْإِسْلَامِ, and it caused weakness in Islam, meaning the Jahmiyyah. They weakened Islam. He's saying, وَأَطَّلُ الْجِهَادِ, and they caused jihad to be left. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they left off jihad in the cause of Allah, because they do not hold that disbelievers are to be declared disbelievers, because they have awareness of Allah. And this means, Sheikh says, they fought no jihad because they said the disbelievers are actually Muslims, because they're people who have awareness of their Creator. So, as the Sheikh said, therefore, that's why they neglected jihad altogether, because they do not hold that the disbelievers are to be declared as disbelievers, because they have awareness of Allah. And this means that Fir'aun was a Muslim then, because he had awareness of Allah in his heart. I mean, upon the saying of the Jahmiyyah, even Fir'aun would be a believer, he would be a Muslim, because he had awareness of Allah in his heart, and the Shaykh brings the evidence for that. He said, He the Most High said, قَالَ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا أَنزَلَ هَا أُولَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Surah Al-Isra, the 17th Surah, Ayah 102. The explanation, and in the context of what Musa alayhi salam said to Fir'aun when he went to call him to the truth, that he said to him, You indeed know that no one has sent down these signs except the Lord of the heavens and the earth. It was Musa alayhi salam, he addressed Fir'aun and told him, you certainly know that Allah is the one who sent down these signs which I've brought. You know that. But no one sent them down except the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Sheikh Bazan said, so he had awareness of Allah in his heart. And the people of Shirk, the Mushrikun, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had awareness of Allah in their hearts. Indeed, they used to worship him with different types of acts of worship. So they believed that Allah, the Perfect, is the Lord, and that he deserves worship. However, they associated others in worship along with him, claiming that those others besides him will draw them closer to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. Even the people of Shirk, whom the Prophet ﷺ fought against, they had awareness of Allah, they believed that he was the Lord, and they actually worshipped him. It's just that they worshipped others along with him, to draw them, as they claim, to draw them closer to him. He said, his saying, وَخَالَفُ الْآثَارِ, and they contradicted the narrations. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning, they contradicted the evidences and the sunnah. He's saying, وَتَكَلَّمُوا بِالْمَنْسُوخِ, and they spoke with the abrogated texts. Shaykh Fawzan said, they took hold of abrogated evidences. They took hold of evidences that had been abrogated. And they do not act upon the text which abrogates, which came later and abrogated. They don't take that in order to misguide, just as Allah the Majestic and Most High said, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 7, with the explanation, so as for those in whose hearts there is deviation, then they follow that which is unclear from it. Shaykh Fawzan said, and from the mutashabih, from that which is unclear on its own, is the mansukh, those texts that have been abrogated. Because it is necessary for the person to have awareness of the nasikh and the mansukh, to have awareness of the text which abrogates, came later and abrogates, and the earlier text which was abrogated. And also al-mutlaq wal-muqayyad, to have awareness of the unrestricted text and the restricted text, and the khas and the aram, and the specific, the text has been specified, and the general text. He must have awareness of the branches of knowledge for the derivation of evidences. He must have awareness of those branches of knowledge necessary to derive evidence, to derive proof from texts. He needs to know that, the person. So he does not use as evidence any text, just any text, which he finds, without seeing whether it is something abrogated, or whether it is something which has been made specific by something, or whether it is something which has been restricted by something. Not examining this. They didn't examine this on account of deviation. Those people, the Jahmiyyah, they were not interested in any of this. They took it as evidence, whatever they wanted to. Sheikh said, on account of deviation, and in order to misguide the people. And they say that we use the Qur'an as proof, but they are not actually using the Qur'an as proof. The Qur'an is used as proof by those who accept all of it. But as for one who takes just a part of it and leaves the other parts, then he is a disbeliever in it. He, the Most High, said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 85, with the explanation. Do you believe in a part of the book and disbelieve in other parts? Shaykh Fawzan said, so a person who does not gather between the muhkam and the mutashabih, a person who does not gather between those texts which are clear and clarifying texts, along with the texts which are unclear, combine the two, then this one is taking a part of the book and leaving a part. He takes a text which is unclear in the meaning until he takes the other text that will clarify it, but he refuses to do so. He just takes that first text that's unclear on its own. So Shaykh said, a person who does this, he takes that part and refuses to take the part that clarifies it, he is one who is taking just a part of the book and leaving a part. He said, and therefore he said, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ to the end of the ayah, the same ayah from Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 7, with the explanation. Whereas those firmly grounded in knowledge, they say, we believe in it, all of it, all of the book, we believe all of it. Shaykh Fawzan said, they say, kullun, meaning all of it, meaning the muhkam, those texts which are clear and clarified, and the mutashabih, that which is not immediately clear with regard to its meaning. People firmly grounded in knowledge believe in both texts. كُلُّم مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا The explanation, all of it is from our Lord. They say, all of it is from our Lord. Shaykh Fawzan said. So therefore they refer the mutashabih, those texts which are unclear, they refer them to the muhkam, to that text which is clear and clarifies it. So therefore it explains it and clarifies it. However, this requires a scholar, alim. It is not permissible for a pretender to knowledge to enter into it, or a person who is a deviant, intending to misguide. So the mutashabih, the text which is unclear, will not be taken hold of except by one of two kinds of men. Either one who is za'ig, one who is deviant, and intends to misguide, like the Jahmiyyah. And therefore Imam Ahmad said about them, يَسْتَدِلُّونَ بِالْمُتَشَابِهِ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ Imam Ahmad said about the Jahmiyyah, they use as proof, and they use as evidence, that which is unclear from the Qur'an. See, that which is initially, to begin with, unclear with regard to this meaning from the Qur'an. As occurs in, as I mentioned, the footnote is Ar-Rad al-Zanadiqa wal-Jahmiyyah, in Imam Ahmad's refutation of the Zindiqs and the Jahmiyyah. Then the second type of person who uses the mutashabih, those ayahs which are not on their own clear with regard to their meaning, Sheikh said, or otherwise a muta'alim, one who feigns knowledge, a false pretender to knowledge, who doesn't realize, and speaks about Allah without knowledge. And just before moving on to the continuation, then there's a point here from Sheikh al-Suhaimi, Sheikh Saleh al-Suhaimi, he said, he's saying, تَكَلَّمُوا بِالْمَنْسُوخِ, they spoke with that which has been abrogated. He said, what he intended was that they deny abrogation. In the Jahmiyyah, they deny nasakh. They deny that there is any abrogation. So the Mu'tazila, they, in the Jahmiyyah, and the Mu'tazila, and the Rafida, and before them the Jews, they denied there being any abrogation. And they said abrogation does not occur, neither in the Qur'an nor in the Sunnah. And the Salaf have refuted them. And back to the explanation of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, he said, he's saying, وَاحْتَجُّوا بِالْمُتَشَابِهِ, and they used unclear texts as proof, he said. And therefore they refute, therefore Imam Ahmad refuted them in his book Ar-Rad al-Jahmiyyah. He brought the texts, which they use as evidence, and he refuted their opinion about them. And he made clear the correct understanding of them, of those texts. And he gathered between the ayahs, he harmonized between the ayahs and the ahadith. He said, he's saying, فَشَكَّكُمْ النَّاسَ فِي أَدِيَانِهِمْ, so they caused the people to have doubts about their religion. Sheikh Fawzan said, so there is no doubt that this is confusion in thoughts and ideas. So it is not permissible to speak about matters of knowledge, and especially matters of aqidah, aqaid, creed and beliefs. Not permissible to speak about that, except one who is firmly grounded in knowledge. It's not permissible for them to be spoken about by half-students, or by false claimants to knowledge, not to mention by people of deviation and misguidance. Said Hussein, وَاحْتَصَمُوا فِي رَبِّهِمْ, and they disputed concerning their Lord. Sheikh Fawzan said, they innovated al-jadal, argumentation, disputing. They innovated, newly brought about, argumentation, religious debating. He said, he the Most High said, مَا يُجَادِلُ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَلَا يَغْرُرْكَ تَقَلُّبُهُمْ فِي الْبِلَادِ, Surah Ghafir, the 14th Surah, Ayah 4. With explanation, no one disputes about the signs of Allah, about the ayat of Allah, except for those who disbelieve. So do not let their travelling about upon the land deceive you. Sheikh Fawzan said, the believer does not dispute about the ayat of Allah, rather he accepts them. And he believes, he holds as his belief, that it is the speech, that they are the speech of Allah. And that they are good and guidance. But as for the person who just withholds about them, and raises doubts, then this is one who disputes about the speech of Allah, the mighty and majestic. He said, he's saying, وَقَالُوا لَيْسَ هُنَاكَ عَذَابُ قَبْرٍ, and they said, there is no punishment of the grave. Sheikh Fawzan said, this fully confirms with their madhab. Because in their view, whoever has awareness of Allah, then he is a believer. And it is not necessary that he has to pray, and fast, and perform hajj, and perform umrah, nor carry out the deeds. And based upon this, there will be no punishment in the grave. Because all of mankind have awareness of Allah. And therefore, there is no sin, and obedience. So those who are in the graves, all have awareness of Allah. So therefore, they will not be punished. He said, "He's saying, 'Wala hawda, wala shafa'a,' and they said that there is no hawd, no great reservoir, nor any shafa'a, intercession." Sheikh Bazan said, All of the affairs of the hidden and the unseen, the ghaib, they denied them. Because they place reliance upon their intellects alone. He's saying, وَالْجَنَّةُ وَالْنَارُ لَمْ يُخْلَقَا. And they said, the paradise and the fire have not yet been created. Sheikh Bazan said, meaning the Jahmiyyah said, the paradise and the fire have not yet been created. Despite the fact that Allah has informed that they are already created. He, the Most High, said with regard to paradise, "Uiddat lil muttaqin." Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 133. The paradise, the explanation, has already been prepared for the muttaqin, the people of taqwa, those who are dutiful to Allah. Shaykh Fawzan said, "Uiddat," with the meaning "already prepared." This shows that it has already been, its meaning is, it shows that it has already been prepared and is present. And he said with regard to the fire, "U'iddat lil kafirin." Surah Al Imran, same surah, but ayah 131, with regard to the fire, with the explanation, it has already been prepared for the disbelievers. The Shaykh said, and also, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam informed that the severe heat in summer, is from the breathing out of the hellfire, and this indicates that it is present. And likewise, the fire has two breaths. As occurs in the authentic hadith, the hellfire has two breaths, a breathing in the winter, and that is the severest cold that you find, and it has a breath in the summer, meaning breathing out in the summertime. And that is the severest heat that you find. So he said, "Inna shiddat al-harri min fayhi jahannam." Saying what Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the severity of heat, meaning in the summer, the severest summer heat, is from the breathing out of the hellfire. In a footnote, they refer this hadith, and they mention the reference for the hadith is being reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, and the reference should be hadith number 533 or 534. From Abu Huraira and Ibn Umar radiallahu anhum, and also reported by Muslim in his Sahih, hadith 615, and also by Muslim from Abu Huraira, or rather that's from Abu Huraira, likewise reported by Muslim as hadith 2209 from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhum. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, he's saying, وَأَنْكَرُوا كَثِيرًا مِمَّا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and they denied much of that which was said by Allah's Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Shaykh Fawzan said, they denied much of that which occurs in the book and the sunnah, because it contradicts their opinion and what they believe. He said, he's saying, فَاسْتَحَلَّ مَنِ اسْتَحَلَّ تَكْفِيرَهُمْ وَدِمَاءَهُمْ مِنْ هَذَا الْوَجْهِ. So those who held it lawful to declare them as disbelievers declared their blood lawful to shed from this aspect. Shaykh Fawzan said, those of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah who declared them to be disbelievers, then he declared them to be disbelievers on account of all of these filthy sayings gathered, because they result in there not being any religion left. He's saying, لِأَنَّهُ مَنْ رَدَّ آيَةً مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ رَدَّ الْكِتَابَ كُلَّهُ. He's saying, and because whoever rejects a single ayah from the book of Allah, then he has rejected the whole of the book. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, as has preceded, that whoever takes as proof part of the Qur'an, but leaves the other parts. So, regarding some, he attempts to cling on to it. Then he has believed only in a part of the book, and he has left the other part. So a person who uses as proof that which is unclear, the mutashabih, and he leaves aside the muhkam, that which is clear and clarifying, then he is from those who believe in a part of the book and reject other parts. He's saying, وَمَنْ رَدَّ حَدِيثًا عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فَقَدْ رَدَّ الْأَثَرَ كُلَّهُ. And whoever rejects a hadith from Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, then he has rejected all of the narrations. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, likewise the sunnah, it contains that which is muhkam, clear and clarifying, and it contains that which is mutashabih, that which is on its own unclear. So whoever takes that which is unclear from the sunnah and leaves off the muhkam, that which is clear and clarified, then he's rejected all of the sunnah. And he said, as the final paragraph, he's saying, وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ, and he is a disbeliever in Allah the Sublime. Shaykh Bazan said, this is the result and Allah's refuge is sought. He said, because the one who truly believes in Allah, he says, آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, Ayah 7. The true believer, he says, we have iman in all of it. We believe in it. All of it is from our Lord. And the Shaykh said, as for the person of deviation, then he takes that which is mutashabih, that which is unclear, because it is more fitting for his purpose. And as for the muhkam, that which is clear, clarifies, then it does not suit his purpose, so he leaves it. This is the way of the people of the desires, the way of the deviated sects, always. And it is not specific to the Jahmiyyah. However, its origin was from the Jahmiyyah. However, all the people of the deviated sects, all of them, in every time, this is their way. They take hold of the proofs, only that which will, they take hold of those proofs, only the ones that will conform to their own desires. And they leave whatever conflicts with their desires. That's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of this point. And before finishing, just to mention that quickly as possible, a point that's brought by some of the explainers. They mentioned Ibn al-Qayyim with regard to the takfir of the Jahmiyyah, declaration of the Jahmiyyah being disbelievers. But Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said in his book, in his famous poem, An-Nuniyyah, that the Jahmiyyah were declared to be disbelievers by 500 scholars. 500 scholars. And finally, round off and finish, then Sheikh Saleh al-Sahimi, Hafidhullah, he said on this point, with regard to this point that the Jahmiyyah is a disbeliever, Sheikh Sahimi said, this saying where the author mentioned it, this saying that the author mentioned at great length, then in summary, it is that he passed the judgment that the Jahmiyyah are disbelievers. And there is no doubt that there's no doubt in the disbelief of the first Jahmiyyah, those ones who founded it, the initial Jahmiyyah. But as for the second, the later Jahmiyyah, who had developed into the saying of the Mu'tazila, then those people, no one from the Salaf declared them to be disbelievers. I mean, the initial Jahmiyyah, the ones described here in these texts, no, there's no doubt about their disbelief. But as for what they're saying developed into later, into the saying of the Mu'tazila, Iqtizal, then no one from the Salaf declared them to be disbelievers. He said, so the speech of the author is not to be taken unrestrictedly. And then he intended here that the saying itself is disbelief. Or the affair itself is disbelief. But as for one who is upon it, a particular individual, then he is to be examined. Have the conditions, I mean the conditions for declaring him to be a kafir, been fulfilled? And have any preventing factors been removed or not? So if the conditions for him to be declared a disbeliever are present, and any preventing factor is absent, then the judgment will be passed upon anyone who denies anything that the author has already mentioned here. or who rejects anything from the texts, he will be judged to be a disbeliever. If the proof is established upon him, the conditions for declaring him so are present, and preventing factors are absent. And then he goes on, he mentions the issue with regard to an individual as well. That detail is necessary there. Allah. الحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.